This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com welcoming you back to Economics 101. And today I'm honored to be joined on the line once again by the man who was the very first guest on Economics 101, Bob Chapman, a man whose vivid and colorful career is much too detailed to go into at great length here, but suffice it to say he was the world's largest silver and gold stockbroker and is currently the man behind the very influential International Forecaster newsletter. Bob Chapman, thank you for joining me once again. It's always great to have you on the program.
Well, thank you for having me again. I enjoy the program very much.
Well, Mr. Chapman, today I wanted to talk to you about something that has been talked about with increasing frequency in recent years, and that is the International Monetary Fund administered special drawing rights. And in the last few years especially, a lot of people have been talking about these SDRs, as they're referred to, as a possible basis for a type of world currency. And I think maybe a lot of people have heard of special drawing rights, but not so many people are really aware of what they are or how they function. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit about the history of these units and how they're used in the international monetary order.
Well, they were created at Bretton Woods, and they didn't get any usage until 1968, and they were brought in. I can't rightly remember why they were brought in, but I think they were brought in as a substitute for gold. Gold was acting up at that time, and it still was, of course, pegged at $32 an ounce, approximately. And anyway, they tried to bring them into usage as a substitute for gold. And in fact, they called them the same as gold. When in fact, they have no gold backing. And so it was not sufficient. And then about 10 years later or so, the IMF started selling gold. And it was interesting because they made the announcement and they sold their gold, and just before they sold their gold, the price of gold went down, and then once they sold, it rocketed up again. I think it went to $200, $250 an ounce, and they were very disappointed about that, and I can't blame them. But as of late, they have been using SDRs as a source of currency. And let's take China as an example. They got lots of dollars. And what they would do is give dollars to the IMF, and they in turn would issue special drawing rights for China. But, you know, it's an abstract way of doing business, and it's supposed to perhaps eventually become a world currency, and I don't think there's any hope of that. I think more representative is the currencies of the G20 or maybe even G30, and taking them and indexing them in one index. In other words, weighting each currency like the USDX is, and using that with a gold backing. And that kind of a currency would be very popular for world trade. That's for sure. How much gold backing? I think 15% would be good. Unfortunately, most nations don't have much gold or have any at all. And they probably would have to buy some. And so maybe they'd make the backing 10% to make it easier. But the point is, the SDR is just another fiat currency, just like all the others in the world, with the exception of the euro, which has about, and this is a guess, about 7% backing, because they had 15% and they've been selling for the last 7, 8, 9 years. And in their sales, they've depleted their position. So I think that would be the kind of unit that would work. And I'm in favor of that. I mean, why should the dollar be used when it's got so many problems and it's been abused so much as a world currency, so to speak? So I think that's a much better alternative. And I think people are chasing their tail when they're trying to use something such as the SDR. Another thing, too, is that all the assets that the IMF have left are gold. And that's it. They don't have anything else. And they're gonna probably be perpetual gold sellers until they don't have any more. And what they have on deposit, we don't know because they won't tell us. But we do know nations are committed to give them gold to sell. And some of them don't have any gold. So it's a dicey situation. And so I would rather prefer to see, for international trade, a index G20, G30 type of currency, as opposed to the SDR, which doesn't mean anything.
Well, that's right. In fact, you're very right to point out that it was brought in as a substitute for gold. I believe it was referred to as paper gold at the time. But as we know, it isn't gold, and it isn't backed up by anything. It's just another fiat currency. So obviously, going to some sort of gold backing on an international basis, even if it was just a fractional amount, would be preferable to having this fiat paper administered by the IMF. But on that note, last September, just before the G20 in Pittsburgh, we saw them release this new WOKU unit, this world currency unit that they're updating twice a year instead of every 5 years, which the SDRs are, and it's based on a basket of 20 currencies, the G20 currencies, instead of the four currencies that the special drawing rights are based on. But of course, there is no gold backing to the WOKU unit, so I'm assuming this is just another difference in kind, not a difference in kind, it's just a difference in degree from the SDRs. But what we're ultimately looking for is the gold backing.
That's right. And it's been proven that gold is a preferred investment. Gold may very well be the international currency today, because the only thing that threatens it is a dollar, and we all know what terrible shape the U.S. government and the U.S. dollar is in. We just recently had a very major rally, but it just seems to be the best of the worst at the moment. I mean, what's going to happen in the future? So gold is the currency, and if they don't have gold within some sort of a currency, it's not going to work.
Now, to differentiate, when we're talking about these types of international exchange mechanisms, are we talking about world currency in the sense of a currency that will override national sovereignty and will actually give power to agencies like the IMF to override the individual banks of national countries?
Well, that's what they would like, and they're not going to get it. The public is not going to do that, especially after the experience that we have experienced with the euro. The euro is dead, and it's a matter of time as to when it's going to be disbanded. Maybe a year, maybe two, but it's not going to take very long. And it's an unnatural thing, and so is an international currency. It's unnatural. And I suppose they make the same stupid mistake that the euro originators made, one interest rate for all. Absolute insanity and stupidity. And so there is no international currency that's ever going to work.
Well, that's obviously true, but unfortunately, I think we've often seen in the past that they use these types of disasters in order to accrue more power to themselves, and I think it seems like a possibility that the collapse of the euro will only lead to an even larger and strengthening of regional currencies and regional units. As ridiculous as that seems in the face of the collapse of the euro, it seems to be what they're suggesting now and what they're moving towards as we approach the next G20. What do you think about the possibility of that playing out?
Well, I think they're going to, the 16 nations within the euro, I think five of them will quit, maybe even more, because they can't financially stand the heat. And I think the remainder will break up. And, of course, Germany will be the strongest currency, and then go back to the D-mark. But the Germans never wanted a euro in the first place. Over the years, last 10 years, every year, several times a year, Germans were polled. 69% of men, 71% of women did not want the euro. In fact, 63% don't want the European Union either. These are unnatural bandings together of people or financial currency, which are unnatural, and they will not work. This is this dream of the Illuminists who want world government, world currency. They are just not going to work. They're anti-human. You know, it's a general term, but that's what it is. People are tribal, no matter where they live. And it's an evolutionary process of the last 10,000 years, perhaps. And that's just the way it is, and there's nothing we can do to change it.
All right, Bob Chapman, intforecaster.com. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. I'll be back.